Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you have brought us through this week and you brought us safely together here on Sunday morning. Father, we pray that you will speak to us, you'll speak to our hearts, and that you will give us what we need to go beyond here into this week, into this month, into this next year. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It's wonderful to be speaking to you again. For those of you I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, my name's Sam Healy, and I am training for ordained ministry at Ridley Hall in Cambridge. And at first glance, our passage this morning presents to us a variety of images and words, doesn't it? Of sheep and goats, heavenly glory and eternal fire, which at first glance has absolutely nothing to do with hospitality. Although I'm sure you'll agree with me, it does sound like the invitation to an alternative kind of church barbecue. I don't know what that makes you feel when you read that passage, but I know I felt very, very uneasy when I first read it. But I don't think that I should, because sometimes it's easy with 2,000 years worth of history and a completely different culture for us to perhaps miss the point of what Jesus is trying to say to us in the 21st century. A wife says to her husband, you know, the guy next door buys his wife chocolates and flowers and cards. Why don't you do that? And the guy thinks about it for a minute and he says, why would I do that? I don't know that woman. The point is, despite that being an awful joke, the point is, it's easy for us to draw the wrong conclusions from what we read in our Bibles and come away feeling guilty and perhaps fearful of perhaps about what we read. Firstly, I think this isn't the God that I know, and I'm sure that isn't the God that you know either, and it isn't the God that I've encountered. Secondly, I don't believe that that is what God wants. You know, God gives us grace and confidence, never, ever fear and guilt. And he calls us to show that grace and that confidence to the world around us so that we wouldn't be uneasy with that reading this morning. And we shouldn't be uneasy with it. And here's why. Our passage is set at the very end of Matthew, and it's the last part of the narrative of that gospel before the crucifixion starts to rear its head and we start to see that. And in the very last parables that appear in that chapter 25, Jesus says, the message from Jesus is use your skills, use your talents for God's glory. But in verse 31, and I'm paraphrasing what Jesus is saying here, in verse 31, he takes another turn and Jesus adds something else. And he says, I'm about to leave you for a while. And in my absence, even though you may not see me in the flesh, I want you to use the gifts that I've given you. And this is how I want you to live. Do all of this so that you are ready for my return. So the title of what I want to share with you this morning is called Authentic Living. And I want to talk to you about those that Jesus is calling us to help, what our response, I think, should be as Christians, and finally, what it means to live for God, as our passage in Peter makes clear to us. Because I believe that Jesus has something to say to us as witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years on. There are two ways in which we can look at our passage this morning. The first is to look at it in a very literal way, and the other is to look at it in a very descriptive way. And if we read our passage literally, then the task we have is relatively simple, isn't it? We just have to keep an eye out for people that are walking around Ely, stark naked. We just have to keep an eye out for people that are hungry and provide a meal for them. Perhaps providing a food bank for people that are on low incomes. Or perhaps visiting those in our community that are sick and who are ill. Those who have been forgotten in prison. Those who look slightly dehydrated and providing them with a glass of water. And that is great. That's wonderful. All these things are wonderful and generous, charitable things to do. Exactly what Jesus is calling us to do when we show hospitality. But I wonder that if we read this passage literally, we miss something of what Jesus is trying to say to us. Several months ago, I was happened to be watching a documentary on the National Geographic channel. I don't know how many of you watch National Geographic. I like that kind of thing. I like science, and I find it very, very interesting. And I particularly found it interesting because I have a particular interest in sushi. I don't know how many of you like Japanese food. But I was watching this piece, and it was about how plastic is sort of degrading in our oceans to very, very small amounts, so much so that it's now in our food chain. And it's actually in the fish that we are eating. And as a result, it is affecting millions and millions of people around the world. In effect, millions of people are dying from what they're eating. But as I was watching this documentary, a thought hit me, and that thought was, millions of people are dying from what they're eating, but millions more are dying from what's eating them. In other words, if we take what Jesus is saying as something that is descriptive and metaphorical, as well as it being literal, suddenly we begin to see that he's talking about something that is much bigger and much broader than just providing a meal for someone, providing a set of clothes for someone, giving them a visit. But instead, he's cutting right to the heart of the human condition, right to the heart of everything that you and I understand to be part of the thing, that great thing called humanity. Because we live in a time, don't we, of great environmental and technological change. We're very aware of our environment changing around us. We're aware of the constant new technology that's being bombarded on us. But there's one thing that in all of that that doesn't change, and we know that to be true, is that the basic fundamental desires of the human heart. We all want to be loved, don't we? We all want to be appreciated. We all want to be valued. We all want to be satisfied in life, in our job, in our work, in our place, in our station. We all want to be fulfilled. To these things, Jesus is calling us to be attentive when we show hospitality to someone, because these desires are the computer software that drive the hardware of humanity. Suddenly, the people that Jesus is calling us to show hospitality to are the people who we walk past in the street every day, who feel vulnerable, who are naked on the inside, who need security, who need reassurance. The hungry people that are looking for something to feed their soul with. People who their life is dry and it's barren, who need the milk of human kindness. The many people that are locked up in the prison of their mind. There are people who are not far from this place, who are prisoners in their own mind, haunted by fear, by shame, by guilt, by resentment, who need a visit from people like you and people like me, the people of God. And this isn't something that can be serviced by literal means, by programs and initiatives. Yes, you can do that in the short term, but in the long term, it leaves us feeling tired and worn out. So a different response is needed. What is that response? It's a spiritual response. That's what God wants from us. Just over 5 years ago, I started working for a national charity called Christians Against Poverty. Many of you will be familiar with the work of Christians Against Poverty. We are connected with a debt center here in Ely. And part of the induction of anybody that was working in head office, you had to go out to the front line with a debt center manager, and you had to visit someone's home. So you really got a feel for exactly what this charity did. And I remember walking out with a debt center manager, and we approached the home of a client, and it was in a tower block in the middle of Bradford, and it didn't look particularly great. It didn't smell particularly great. The lift didn't work, and we had to climb 10 flights of steps to get to the top. And when we got inside, the person that we met was awkward and difficult. Understandably so, they'd gone for a whole lot of things. The house didn't smell particularly brilliant either, and there was a particular dog in the kitchen that didn't look like it was wanting to be very, very friendly. And having taken all these things in, I remember walking after the meeting with the client. I walked back to the car with the center manager, and I said to him, how do you do this? You've been doing this 10 years. How do you do this day in, day out, week in, week out? And he looked at me, and he said, I do it because of what Jesus Christ did for me. True hospitality starts with the heart. It starts here. Anything less will wear us down. Therefore, true hospitality springs from a revelation of what God has done to us, or done for us, so that it translates into action. I'm not talking about random acts of kindness. No one should be twisting our arm. It should come from our hearts. There isn't anything random about what we do as Christians. We do what we do because Jesus Christ has changed our lives in such a way that we are so overcome, so overwhelmed by the power of his love for us. I don't know about you, but that consumes me on a weekly basis. The power of love that Jesus Christ has for me. I'm blown away by the fact that he was prepared to die on the cross for me. We love others. We show hospitality to others because he loved us first. We help others because we are helping him. As many of you know, I'm getting married in September, and I was recently listening to my dad, and my dad was saying that one of the things that really endeared people to my mum and him to people in the church was when my brother and I were growing up, when people would show kindness to us, to my brothers and I, his sons. And I think in the same way, I think the best way to God's heart is by doing something for his child. That's what we do. We show hospitality to others because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because we want to do something for Jesus Christ. We can't serve his child mechanically. We can only serve him from the heart. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And this is the key to living authentically. So what does all this authentic living look like? What about St. Mary's? What about here? What does that look like here in church? Because this is another house. This is a home, isn't it? This is the home of the people of God. It's not just a building, but each and every one of us represents the church of Jesus Christ. Perhaps that's serving tea and coffee once a month, inviting someone to your home for a meal, or on a Sunday after the service, or perhaps one night during the week, offering someone a lift, giving someone a warm handshake, and a kind word, being a tremendous encouragement. So many of you in this room are a great encouragement. You know, I think it's part of my training, and I think of so many of you who've been a great encouragement to me as I've been sharing with you and working amongst you. And never underestimate the power of encouragement. Simple things. It isn't about giving thousands of pounds or writing ourselves into the annals of history, but giving simple help to the people that we meet every single day of our life. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. As I come to a close, both our passages this morning in Matthew and 1 Peter, they encourage us to show hospitality and compassion, not because we should do it or because someone's telling us this is how we should live, this is what we should do, but because we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Each and every one of us, we can think right now as we're sat here, what Christ has done for us in our lives. And then we think again and we know what he's doing now. And then we think again about what he will do in our life. And that comes from the heart. It's from the heart that authentic Christian living comes. And it's only with the eyes of our heart that we can truly see beyond the literal and see more than just doing jobs and things like that. To look beyond what we see with our natural eyes and walk out into God's bigger world, because God has a much bigger world. And they remind us, our passages this morning, they remind us to love God with everything that we've got and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That is the first commandment. They remind us to show the same hospitality to the people that we know and the people that we don't know, and perhaps the people that we will meet once in our life and never meet again. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. They remind us what we do, especially here in St. Mary's. They remind us what we do here in the family of God. As you leave this place today, I'd like to prayerfully ask you again to pray again for the church here and for the life of the church here. And pray that God will lead us into a deeper relationship, a deeper life of hospitality. Let's also pray that God will give us a heightened sense, a heightened state of awareness and understanding of the world around us, so that we might be more attentive to the needs of others, which is so easy to miss, isn't it? We're all busy. We all have busy lives. It's so easy to miss that. Everyone at some point in their lives needs compassion, a love that's never failing. We're better to receive that than here amongst the people of God. Because when it comes to hospitality, it isn't just you and it isn't just me, but it's all of us together with God. So to sum up what it means to live authentically, we really are all in it together. Amen.
Thanks, Sam. So just a couple